Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of Jesus, if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? That's quite a question. Maybe a little too much to handle right here at the beginning. I mean, have you ever looked somebody right in the eye and blurted out the question, hey, look, I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? That's exasperating. We give people a straight up shot of truth and they simply kiss us off as liars. I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? Think with me for a moment. What is there about truth that often gets in the way of our believing? I mean, when somebody comes at you with the truth and you found you couldn't or wouldn't believe it, what was going on? Is it not that often what you expect of truth, truth just doesn't deliver? Maybe too heavy to bear, too much to handle, too awful to contemplate, too hard to endure, or was it too good to be true? Kind of this way, out of this world, to even begin to be possible. But all in all, the truth just somehow wasn't what you expected. Our expectations can be that way. Not just about so much of what happens in daily life, but most especially in what we believe about God, about who He is and how He ought to act and what He ought to be doing in the world and in our lives. Those off-kilter expectations are there because we simply don't hear His words. Instead, we are listening to and hearing the world's words, on our own words, or even worse yet, Satan's words. Just get this. Even as God's children baptized into His name, declared righteous in His Son Jesus, and of all things being given ears to hear, you and I still are so often wooed by other words that form our expectations so that when God's word of truth is spoken to us, when we are face to face with the truth, we find ourselves at war with it. It doesn't fit our expectations. It's like trying to put the proverbial square peg in the round hole. To be sure, God's word has always been square and unbending. It doesn't go with the flow, nor flow with the times, nor rise and fall with political or economic thermometers. God's word of truth has a mind and heart of its own. It is God's mind and His heart. A mind with thoughts nowhere near ours and a heart filled with mercy and compassion for lost brats. Runaway, arrogant prodigals and people so maligned, so twisted by Satan's lies that they couldn't recognize the truth on their own if it slapped them upside the head. But then again, the Father sees those lost ones not as brats, but as the children He made and loves. There's some exasperation in His voice as Jesus faces the religious teachers and hotshots of His day and asks, I'm telling you the truth, so why don't you believe me? Indeed, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But still, Jesus comes. He comes among us again today as He came to the people then. No name calling, no threats, no rock throwing will deter Him from doing His Father's will. He will not be deterred. He will not be sidetracked from His Father's mission. He comes not to meet our expectations, but to do His Father's bidding. the words of God that we by nature do not hear, do not receive, do not believe, Jesus not only hears, but does. In fact, he is the Father's word, the Father's last and final word. He is the truth in all its fullness and utter clarity, the truth in human flesh and blood. And by his flesh and with his own blood, he comes as the high priest of the good things to come. He enters the Holy of Holies in the presence of the just and holy God, a tabernacle not made with hands, not of this creation. And there he offers and delivers redemption to people lost and runaway and arrogant and all twisted up by Satan's lies. He comes, Jesus comes, with blood on his hands. Not the blood of butchered goats and bulls, but with his own, his very own blood. This is the blazing, blaring, unbending truth. It's not what we were expecting by nature. It never is. A vulnerable little baby born of a young, very ordinary, humble virgin, swaddled in peasant clothes and laid in an animal feed box. God in the straw? Not what we were expecting, not by a long shot. And certainly, certainly not a limp, dead Christ hanging on a cross. Both high priest and sacrifice, God's truth for you. And for the whole world, he is how God gets our salvation done. Nothing less and nothing more. Jesus, speaking the Father's word and being the Father's word, doing the Father's will. Operative word as he prays in Gethsemane is in the possessive. Not my will, but yours be done. The people in our Lord's day who just could not, would not abide in his word were finally children not of Abraham, as they were so adamant to claim, but rather they were children of the devil, a most inconvenient truth if there ever was one. Not pedigree, but faith in the word of God was the key. Not Abraham's blood flowing through you, but Christ's blood given, shed for you. He's the mediator of a new covenant. No one comes to the Father except through this one, Jesus. Salvation nowhere else. Done his way, nothing else needed. As he stood before the people in his earthly ministry, so he stands before you this day in his word and at his supper. He makes the claim, get this, he makes the claim that can be accepted by faith, not claimed by pedigree, not by background or education or smarts or happy thoughts or good things that you've done. Jesus claims to be greater than Father Abraham. He claims to be the one to whom all the prophets point. He claims to be God, the I Am. Nothing less. To trust in Jesus, to take him just as he is, just as he comes, receiving just what he brings and gives. To take him at his word, that's what it means to hear. And to abide in that word against all odds is to see and to share Abraham's joy. And Abraham's joy is this: to be God's dear child, redeemed by the blood of the great I Am, and all of that, solely by a grace and mercy that are unfathomable. Such grace, such mercy, coming only in and through Jesus. Luther's great. Jesus speaking and his doing delivers you from all the other worldly, bent inward expectations. expectations of truth that you got going on. Jesus comes to you again this day so that by faith you may behold Him and say, He is my Lord. He is my salvation. After hearing what he said, the religious know-betters were convinced that Jesus was of the devil, and they took up stones to throw at him. Rocks are not going to keep him from his cross, nor will a big rock in front of his tomb keep him from his Father's mission. At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by His chosen faithful prophets. But folks, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. With Father Abraham, we are learning that what our Lord brings and gives is so far above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think. We can only be now and always but little children, trusting and receiving. Precisely what this same evangelist John writes in the first of his three letters, these words. Hear them. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. This is the truth, my brothers and sisters. I'm telling you the truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.